My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as I stated at the beginning of the service, the message for this morning is the New Testament lesson, and I would just like to read to you two verses, the first two verses of that lesson. Paul says, or writes, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds." I got to tell you, I'm a little bit ashamed of myself. I'm kind of ashamed to admit this to you, because it's going to sound a little nuts. But I got to say that the very first time that I read through this New Testament lesson, the very first thought that came into my mind was a nursery rhyme. The Big Bad Wolf and the Three Little Pigs. And I got to tell you, every time that I read through it more and studied it more, guess what? I came up with the exact same nursery rhyme. And I'm sure you probably know that nursery rhyme. Well, I mean, there are these three little pigs, and the first little pig and the second little pig, well, first one builds his house out of straw, the second one builds his house out of sticks, and lo and behold, the big bad wolf comes and wants to get in, and they say, "Not by the hair of our chinny chin chin." And so he hops and he puffs and he blows down the first house and devours that poor little pig. And he huffs and puffs a little bit harder on the second house and it falls down. And he also devours that pig. And actually, it's really no wonder that all of that happened, because the materials that they used to build their houses certainly were not satisfactory for buildings. I mean, they were not sturdy. They were not strong. Really, just even a little breeze could knock them down. But then, lo and behold, there was that third little pig, and he built his house out of brick. And Big Bad Wolf comes and says, "Let me in." And pig says, "No way." He says, "Well, I'm going to huff and puff until I blow your house down." And he huffs, and he puffs, and he huffs, and he puffs, and he huffs, and he puffs. Couldn't blow the house down. Now, I know the nursery rhyme can go on a little bit longer, but the bottom line is this: that poor big bad wolf, he went away dejected, hungry. Why? He couldn't blow the house down because that pig built his house with suitable material. He built his house with brick, which was strong, extremely strong, which could withstand so much, much more than even those huffs and puffs of the wolf. And I have to say that I guess that there are a lot of morals to this. I remember I was told that this teaches us that if we have correct attitudes, and that if we build our lives around proper values and proper morals, well, you know, we might be more successful in business or in our work because we'll be working hard. And certainly by following good morals and principles, etc., we'll keep ourselves out of a lot of trouble. You know, our New Testament lesson for today, believe it or not, kind of deals with the same subject, a little different way. Those little pigs, they're building a house. Believe it or not, Paul in our New Testament lesson is actually talking as well about building a house, a spiritual house. He's talking about building the Christian life. Now, when we go back and we think about the fact that Paul is writing this letter to the Christians in Corinth, and I remember right at the beginning of this letter, he went into that city, and there was fear and trembling. And you know, when he went into that city, Boy, oh boy, did he ever. He just faced all kinds of different religions. There were Jewish people. They believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, just as Paul and all Christians do. But they believed that they were right before God because they were descendants of Abraham and because they followed the law. And then you had all the Gentiles, and you know, certain Gentiles, well, they followed a certain pagan god, and another set, they followed another pagan god, and some of them followed a bunch of pagan gods, and some of them probably followed all of the pagan gods. But if there was one thing that was common with all of them, it was this. They had to please the pagan god that they followed, because then they would be blessed by that god. And the way that they would please him was by doing what that pagan god told them to do. Well, Paul enters into the city. Boy, he proclaims a message so different, entirely different, than they ever heard before. He talked about the Lord God. And in particular, he made it known to them that no matter who they were, and no matter what kind of good, righteous life they thought that they lived, it was never, ever going to make them right with God. And the reason was simple. God, he said, is a holy God. And so therefore, as Jesus said, you want to be his, you want to be right with him by doing good things? Well, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And boy, he lays down the law in them, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that Spirit convicts them of their sin. They see that they're far from perfect. Not only that, but it convicts them of the fact that because of their sin, they really got God really angry at them. So much so that they were under his punishment of eternal death. Now here comes the real different part. Because you know, in a way, they kind of had an idea that they got their gods mad at them, they would be in trouble. Here was the different part. God loved them. God loved them so much, doggone it, that he still wanted them to be his children, although they sinned against him. And so, he did what was necessary to bring it about. And from there, he preached about God's Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, who gives up everything to come into this world as a human being. Jesus, who throughout his entire life lived the perfect life that God required. Jesus, who because he was sinless, should have never ever have to have suffered any anger from God, and certainly never should have suffered any punishment for sin. Jesus, who willingly, on his own, because this was the only way to save mankind, willingly put himself in the position that all of God's anger toward us because of our sin was directed right at him. And we're told he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Not only did he suffer the anger of God, but he suffered God's punishment that we're to suffer because of our sin. He suffered separation from God, hell, the hell that we deserved. He suffered death, our death. And you know, because he willingly did this, he defeated sin and death. And so Paul tells them, look, salvation, being right with God, it's a free gift. Repent. Believe, God gives it to you through Jesus Christ. And through that message, which is the gospel, the Holy Spirit worked and brought people to faith in Jesus Christ. That is how the church in Corinth started. Now, in our lesson, Paul says to these Corinth Christians that he, as an expert builder, laid the foundation for their Christian lives. In other words, he told them that their foundation was none other than the gospel. The foundation for their Christian lives was none other than Jesus Christ. It is the same thing for us. Our lives are built on the gospel, on Jesus Christ. It has to be, because it is through this means that we know that we're forgiven. We know that we are God's children. We know that we have eternal life. It's from there that everything else in our lives as Christians flows forth. There was a problem with these Corinth Christians. The chapter before, he said, you know what? You people are still infants. You haven't matured in the faith. There's a reason for this. Well, we can see it. There's proof. You follow men. You say you follow Apollos, Cephas, Paul, whoever. You are always arguing with one another. You're self-centered. Oh, you believe, you're forgiven, you're saved, but your lives are not going anyplace else. And why was this? Well, you see, it was what was being used to build their Christian life. You know, the Gentiles back then, they loved wisdom. And so when anybody came up with some idea that really sounded wise, which in reality was a bunch of garbage, well, you know, they kind of believed it and they followed it. Or their foundation was the gospel. But then, you know, they tried to build their lives around the worldly things, gold, silver, you know, wealth, status, you name it. And so the end result was, they didn't know how to act with one another because they didn't know what it meant to be one in Christ. They didn't know Christ's promises. They were tossed to and fro in all the problems that they faced because what am I supposed to do? They didn't know. And it was very easy for them to be led astray. They needed to mature in the faith. How about us? I know that the foundation of our lives, our Christian lives, is the gospel. We know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We know that because of his death and resurrection, we are forgiven, God's people, and we possess eternal life. But my question is this: now, what are we using to build our Christian lives? What kind of blocks are we using? I got to tell you something. It is absolutely amazing. More and more, in places like Africa and that, they do not want missionaries from the United States. They don't even want us. And you know why? Because the 30% who believe in Christ, a large majority have no idea about anything else concerning the Christian faith. They don't really know what the promises of Christ are. They don't really know that because of Christ, we are brought together and we live in a certain way. They don't know even things such as the Trinity, or that Jesus is true God as well as true man. You know, what's happening today is that people are trying to build their Christian lives with these crazy religious ideas,
the prosperity gospel.
Hey, Jesus promises that he'll give you everything you want. You give me $500 and he'll give you back $5,000. And they believe it because they don't know. Or, you know, if you follow this checklist, do this, you know what? God will give you what you're asking for. Except they leave out the fact that if it is according to God's will. And then, on top of it, so many of us, and I get caught up in this, I sometimes end up trying to build my life not with the spiritual stones, but with the worldly stones. You know, be nice to have a little more money. Be nice if I could have this or that. Yeah, it'd be nice if I were a little bit higher up in Synod, then I could tell them what I think. No, I bet that's, don't listen to that one. What are we using? How do we mature in the faith? Paul really makes it quite simple. He tells us, it's none other than Jesus Christ. You know, he talks about us being the temple of the Spirit. And of course, that means that we're supposed to, we often take that to mean that we got to take care of ourselves physically, which we do. Paul's actually here talking about in the spiritual sense. We've got to take care of ourselves spiritually. We've got to grow spiritually. We got to grow the right way. And there's only one way that that happens. It's this. It's the scriptures. And you know what the scriptures are all about? The scriptures are all about Jesus from beginning to end. For us to continue to mature, for us to learn more and more so that we may really know Christ's promises, that we may really be able to know what it means to live the Christian life, we need to preach this. We need to preach the gospel. We need to preach Jesus Christ. And you and I need to be dedicated to the hearing and the reading and the study. You know, my life has got a long way to go. My building blocks of my Christian life, man, yeah, sometimes I use that straw and wood rather than the spiritual blocks of God's word. I think we all do. It's easy. We're human beings. The good news is that through Christ, we're still Christians. The foundation in our lives is the gospel, so we are forgiven. We're still God's. We still have heaven. But, you know, I think oftentimes we struggle so much because our faith isn't maturing. And therefore then, I ask you, take some time. Think about how you're trying to build your spiritual life. And then think about building your life on the scriptures, Jesus Christ. We will mature. We will mature. Life won't be any easier, but I'll tell you this. We won't be tossed to and fro as much. And inside of us, that no matter what takes place, there will be a peace. Because we will know that no matter what happens, Christ will keep all of his promises. And that, yeah, one day, we will be in heaven. And you know what? Our spiritual home will be complete because Jesus has already got it built. A beautiful mansion for you and I. Amen.